For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show with me, Caroline Barker. Coming up this week, you had me at hello. We welcome in the new season in high-speed fashion with a top National League manager and a chairman on the other. Plus you, of course, the Non-League Football Show. You can get in touch with us at Non-League Show on social media. Let's bring in the team. He's been away so long that he's become a manager, been sacked and now found behind the bar watching the golf. Nothing changes. Former manager at AFC Wimbledon, Dave Anderson.
Good evening, morning or afternoon. I'm not sure when this goes out anymore, but how are you, boss?
You totally put me off because you kind of did a sharp intake of breath halfway through me introducing you. And I think I said I went a bit splendid and a bit slurry during that. So I apologise. And I'm just blaming you completely. Are you actually watching the golf right now?
Yes, but I can do two things. It's on the TV.
Can you?
Yes,
can you? I've spent the summer with the other half of Ian Finnis, Rachel Brown Finnis, former England goalkeeper, who Ian Finnis is caddy to Tommy Fleetwood, who you're probably watching do well at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh. So you live, you're right up there now, boss, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm just all, that's the way I live to impress people. You. So we've been away a while. We've come back. In that time, Glenn Tamplin, owner, manager and everything else at Billericay, has bought half the Premier League.
Yes, he has. And yeah, we've had Glenn on. We've spoke to him. I'm a bit dubious about the whole thing. I still am. What I would say is that he's definitely put his money where his mouth is. Who doesn't want to see people like Jermaine Pennant in the Roman Premier? Everybody does. Everybody wants to go and watch Billericay. I will think he's serious when he employs a manager.
Well, match in the Bostic, as it's now called, not the Ryman. I mean, that's how long you've been away. His first match in the Isthmian League will be against Kingstonian, where the man he let go, Craig Edwards, is the manager.
Isn't it funny how the leagues always chuck things like this up? I think listen, Craig's doesn't need any... Well, he doesn't need anything from anyone. He's a successful manager. He's been a manager for a long, long time since Glenn played. And he'll relish going there. But it has to be said that, you know, Charlie Caroli could win the league with the Billericay squad. You
know? On the subject of Craig Edwards, if you've not seen Leatherhead, have a look at Leatherhead on social media. They put up their team photo. Leatherhead and Kingstonian ground sharing at the moment, and there's a picture right in the corner. So there's the official team photo all lined up, and then right in the corner of the picture, looking out the bar window, is Craig Edwards, the Kingstonian boss. Photo bombing, well
like,
worth a look.
It's a bit like that. It's a bit like the photos of Elvis you see, isn't it? You know, you know when people take photos of Graceland, there's a head at the window, you know. But it's a real funny thing. I've seen it last night. It's just funny.
I think I'm going to take a cardboard cutout of you to every ground I go to this season and see where I can place you. Might get more sense.
You better get a bigger car.
We're going to talk FA Cup, Step 5, plenty of other things too. If there's something you want us to talk about, you can get in touch at Non-League Show. Now, whilst some of us might be a little slow getting up to match fitness, some are already well underway and into the thick of it. The National League kicked off last weekend with two new big names, Leighton Orient and Hartlepool, making their non-league debuts, losing non-league debuts, though, after relegation from the Football League. Much debate, though, as to the favourites for the season, and if any club ran away with it like Lincoln did last time out, or if it's going to go down right to the very last game. Very early days, 2 out of 46, doesn't show season form. But a winning start puts a smile on the face, not least of Gary Waddock. He's joining us now on the line down at Aldershot. Back-to-back wins for his side. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, good evening.
How is that smile then?
Yeah, it's there at the moment. It's only two games in, but yeah, everybody's smiling at present.
I know you, every other manager you speak to will say 10 matches in, but I guess it's kind of the manner of the wins. 2-0 away at Halifax. I don't need to remind you, but this is for everyone else. A 3-2 win at home to Torquay as well. What were the performances like?
Well, the first game was a typical first game of the season. A bit cagey first half, and then second half, we played very well against a team who had obviously got promoted. They had some momentum, but our performance is good and we deserve the 2-0 scoreline. And then Tuesday evening, we come up against Torquay, who have recruited well during the summer. In my opinion, stronger this time round, and they give us a very, very tough game on Tuesday evening, but we come out winning the game 3-2.
Is it tough this time of the year because you are trying to get everyone to gel? And have you had any of your signings that have just kind of taken you a bit by surprise with how well they have adapted?
Well, the new players that we brought in have come into the group and settled into it very quickly. We were lucky that we kept everybody apart from one player from last season. So there was a lot of familiar faces. So we've just added a few to the group and, you know, they've settled in very, very quickly.
Dave.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Dave.
I just wanted to ask you, yeah, long time no speak. I just wanted to ask you about, you know, it's brilliant as a football manager to go into your season with so many of the lads you had the year before. You add to it. Do you feel your squad is now of the size that means you can compete because you've lots of cup games, you've got FA Cup, you've got the trophy, you've got stuff like that, and squad has become a massive thing in football now. Is that what you're looking at now, the depth of your squad?
Yeah, I was just going to say that it's important, you know, your squad, you can, with the amount of games that we have to play, and, you know, this is an example this month, we got, you know, Saturday midweek until the end of this month, really. So, yeah, the depth of your squad is important. As you know, as a manager, you know, you're always looking to bring an extra player in to add to it. But, you know, to start the season, you know, everything all well and good. You'd like to think everybody's fit and available. Unfortunately, we've got a couple of lads out injured. So, but we're pleased with the quality of players we got. Similar to last year, I'd rather go with quality rather than quantity. And everybody then feels part of it and they feel as though they can play. Every player last year got lots of minutes. So there was a bond between all the players because they knew they were fighting and all pulling in one direction.
Yeah, Gary, and I think that's good. I think you're absolutely right in what you say, that you've got to be careful of that size. If you get it where it's nice, everybody's in it together, then no one gets ostracised. But the thing for me is that the way the league's structured now, that you play, as you said yourself, you play maybe 6-8 games in the first 8 weeks, 6-8 weeks, people aren't at their full fitness. I know you've done pre-season, but you know, match time, is that something you monitor to try and, you know, if any people pick up strains or look tired, or, you know, is that something you obviously don't want to change a winning side, but will you look at that and leave people out just to make sure bigger injuries don't occur?
Yeah, no, spot on. We've done that last year. You know, I think the modern day player, he gets used to rotation and stuff like that. But as a coach manager, the way you want your team to play and the way we play all the shot, we need high energy and, you know, we try and get after teams. So, you know, we have to make sure the team's fresh. And it's a case of just resting players for a game. You know, they recharge their batteries and they come back into it. They haven't been dropped or left out. It's just a case of have a rest for this game. You've put a lot of hard work and effort into two or three games on the trot, especially early part of the season. You don't want to be picking up major injuries. So I think they've got used to it at the club now. They didn't at the first part of last season, but as I say, the group has remained together. And they as the season went on last year, they did get used to having a rest every so often.
What's the target then, Gary? What have you sat down with the chairman and said for this season?
To win the game on Saturday.
Do you know what, Gary? Gary, we've had the chairman on and he's been as cagey as you are. He really has.
every coach, manager at the start of the season wants to win the league, wants to get promotion. Everybody, you can ask anybody of that, what they want to achieve. Everybody's positive. Who knows what the season, you know, will bring for us. You know, if we got a good start to the season, you have a loss of form, you pick up injuries. You don't know. You have a cup run. Who knows how it's going to affect you? But you can only be judged at the end of the season. You know, what you can actually do and with the group that you've got. And, you know, you end up where you deserve to end up come the end of it. Everybody
all right,
needs to win the league.
I'll rephrase it then. Who are going to be your main rivals for the title then?
I think there's a lot of, you know, good clubs. Like Dagenham, for argument's sake, they're a big club. Tranmere, they're another big club that, you know, last season done very, very well. The teams that have come down, they're big clubs at this level. The teams that have come up into this division have got big, big budgets. So each league got a big budget. I think Wrexham have recruited very, very well. That's to name a few, you know. And then you can throw Sutton in, who had a fantastic cup run last year. Obviously, the money that they generated from their cup run will obviously help them as well in terms of their playing squad. So that's, I've just named a few clubs there that I think will be competing.
What just on that subject of budget, what do you think is kind of a big budget in the league this season?
I don't know other people's budgets, so you know, every club to their own. But you know, we have a budget, and we work toward, you know, inside that budget figure. So you work with what you got, and your recruitment is important. You could have the biggest budget in the world, but if your recruitment's poor, it doesn't matter what figure you've got. You know, so it's key. It's very important, your recruitment. So that's a major thing for us.
Too true. Yeah. Go on, Dave.
Yeah, no, I think he's spot on as always, and has got that right. Gary, I was going to ask you: are you surprised at this early stage that there's only 2 years have got 100% record?
Well, as you know, Dave, it's a competitive league, and anybody can beat anybody. And we're only 2 games in. If it was, if you were 10, 15 games into it, we're only 2 games in. So
yeah,
it will settle down, as you said earlier. You know, come around, you know, 10 games, everything will settle down, you know, and we'll have a better idea of where we will be, where other clubs will be, you know. So we'll see come the 10-game mark where we are.
Hey, good luck this weekend, Gary, on that only target being the match this weekend. And we will catch up with you during
most
the season.
Definitely.
Thank you for coming on. Look after yourself. Cheers,
no,
Gary.
Thank you.
Gary Waddock down at Aldershot. Regards to who?
His wife, Maury Waddock. She's, yeah.
Oh. Oh, no, I missed the name then, but you know, you're right. You can send your regards to anyone you like.
I've been around. Don't worry about that. Listen, I was going to say that he used a word there that is becoming as obsolete as tackling is. The word dropped. Used to be dropped. Nobody's dropped anymore, are they? They're rested or rotated. You know, nobody's dropped. I think managers need to bring back the word drop. You know, actually pull the player in and go, you know, we've a rotation system here, and you know, we sometimes we rest players. But I just want to make it plain to you, son, you're being dropped today.
Are you saying that's because players have got too much power now?
No, I'm saying it because it's the language of the dressing room has changed over the years.
But why has that? Why has that changed? Because
the squad system, having so many players in your squad means that you can shy out of it as a manager. I'm not saying for a minute all managers do, but I think it's an easy way of dropping a player, isn't it? You know, listen, looking a little bit jaded, I'm going to give you a rest, or, you know, we're going to rotate, you know, whereas in the bad old days, you were just pulled in and going, you're playing rubbish and we're leaving you out. Sort your game out.
But Gary has always struck me in the same way that you have, Dave, as a no-nonsense kind of manager who would exactly tell someone that they've been dropped.
He used the word dropped.
I bet you're regretting bringing it up now, aren't you?
he used it, and it's just something you don't hear many, well, as much as you used to now, you know. People will probably hammer me for this now, but it's just something I feel it's easier to drop a player nearly.
Do you want me to start a campaign to bring it back?
Yes.
I'm bringing sexy back, and I'm bringing dropped back. Those are the things we did. At non-league
well,
shirt,
if you drop the right thing, sexy will come into it.
At non-league show to be part of it. Lots of people have already got in touch with their matches and what's coming up this weekend. A bit of good news from Hazen Yedding United that we have to mention as well. They're heading home. They've had an agreement with the Southern League, the FA, and the London Borough of Hillingdon, they're going to be back at their ground this weekend. We know that there's been a few wrangles trying to get them to go back home, safety certificates and the like to pass. But big news for them as a football club. A club, of course, with roots at the very top of non-league football.
Yeah, delighted. Local to me, you know, very local to me. Kaz, you know, obviously Tim, who's involved with us, has been at Hayes for many years as well. But I think that it's a big football club. Well, I remember when it was Hayes was one club and Yedding was the other club. Two good clubs. They merged. They've had success. They've fallen out of the sky in the last few years, but have now got back into the ground and will hopefully start again. You know, they're probably lower than they've been in maybe 15, 20 years, I'm guessing. But they've got a foundation, they've got a ground, and they can go again.
Others to mention, Janet got in touch to say, have you done anything on AFC Fylde, doing great things for football community in the Fylde area too? We've spoken about them previously. We'll get them on in future weeks. FA Cup Fact File has been a fantastic follow. Of course, the FA Cup's already started. I don't know if you saw on the BBC is showing some of the early games in the FA Cup too. So well worth a look when FA Cup rounds come round. And other such songs when that starts again. Some Step 5 matches already started too. The National Leagues are mentioned as well.
Sorry, Kaz, you would think the BBC sort of showing non-league games, they should have a non-league show somewhere. I don't know. It's just a thought.
Should we just pause and leave it there? No, let's not. let's talk about a favourite subject of yours, Mr. Anderson, 3G pitches. Some are more and more of them have been laid by clubs in replacement for grass. We heard Gary Waddock talk about Sutton and, of course, their 3-stroke, 4-stroke, 72G that they've got in the National League. Potential additional revenue streams, year-round usage, third-party rentals. We've talked about it all over the years. One club that did that, not this season, but a little while back, was Worthing FC. They are in that newly named Bostic Premier League, Dave. However, following drainage problems at the end of last season, they've been told this week that their 3G pitch needs repairs, won't be issued with all the documents they need, the FIFA certificate. Let's speak to club owner and chairman George Dow, who joins us. Hiya, George.
Hello, you all right?
Yeah, what about you? This is a stinker, isn't it?
Yeah. Bit of bad news before the start of the season, but yeah, hopefully we can find a resolution soon.
So what's actually happened to the pitch?
So, not long after it was laid, a couple of years ago, we noticed that there's a bit of drainage issue. Really, it wouldn't drain as quickly as we'd like, or that we were promised it would. And so that's gone on, and the contractors have come back and done tests on the ground and eliminated different areas of where it could have been. It's boiled down to the fact that the sub base was incorrect, and we had some flooding issues, and then flooding issues have now made that ground underneath the pitch unlevel, which has in turn made the pitch unlevel, which is why it failed its FIFA test.
So what's the answer? Can you get back on it this season, or have you got to fork out a load of cash to make it happen?
We're hoping that we can get back on it this season. At the moment, we've reversed our fixtures for August, so the two home games we had in August, we're now playing away, and we'll play them teams later on in the season at home. We're hoping that we're kind of in FIFA have now got involved and we're in their hands, really. We're waiting to hear what their solution is, whether they can come up with something that will see us through this season and then get the works that are necessary done in May of next year, or whether there is no solution to get sort of a temporary fix and that we'd have to get it done immediately. And we'd have to then look to pitch share it somewhere. Well, we've got an agreement with Bognor that we'd pitch share there if it comes to it.
Go on, Dave.
Yeah, no, I was going to just ask George, is it dangerous as it is at the moment?
No, it's not dangerous at all. It's just where the pitch is. When I say unlevel, it's literally millimetres. I think the tolerance for a 3G pitch is a 10 mil tolerance over a 3 metre area. And in some areas, it's like 16 mil or 18 mil. So it's literally, you probably wouldn't feel it. Well, you won't feel it walking over it or whatever. It's no more unlevel than a grass pitch. It's just because of the standards and the regulations for a 3G pitch needs to meet. It just doesn't meet them standards. But, yeah, it's not dangerous at all.
I find that frustrating. I find that the fact that what you have to praise the leagues for is that they've got, okay, we can have 3G, and we've been banging on about it for years, Kaz. But what I find frustrating is that if this was a grass pitch, it would be okay. You know, that I've gone to grass pitches in the early parts of the season over my years as a manager, looked at it and thought, my God, what's this going to be like in February? But it passed no problem. So I find this a bit pernickety that they dig out a situation where we're Worthing, when I haven't seen the pitch, but going by George, it's absolutely fine to play football on.
Yeah, I can see it from both ways, really. I know that FIFA have been brilliant with us. They saw that the pitch failed its tests 2 times, and they've stepped straight in, and they're helping us now deal with the FIFA preferred company that we use. So they've been great, and I can kind of understand that they want to make sure that the level of pitch, if you've got a 3G pitch, is maintained at a high level, so that people don't start taking the mickey and having a lower grade pitch installed and just lowering the quality of the pitches, if you know what I mean. They want to keep the pitches high quality, and we'll do everything they can to make sure that happens, I guess.
George, we spoke to you a couple of seasons ago when you were investing in the club. I know lots of people know your story following a car accident, that you're now a wheelchair user. You decided to put some of the money back into the club, and you were building this 5-year plan, weren't you? Does this affect that plan? Does this, you know, maybe mean that you're a year back from where you wanted to be?
I'd like to say no, but I guess it all depends on what we hear now from FIFA. I think they're meeting the contractors either early next week, so we should hear something soon. But yeah, it could well push us back. I mean, I was really worried about, obviously, this news coming out, and we were hoping and praying that a solution would come up before the start of the season, so that we wouldn't have to release this, because I knew, like, the consequences with sponsors and fans and season ticket holders and maybe even players. But to a man, they've all been absolutely superb since the news broke. So, I mean, yeah, it's great to see everyone sort of rallying together, and hopefully it won't put us back as much as I was scared that it might do.
How have you found it being chairman?
I enjoy it. Obviously, I love football, and after my accident, I was kind of left with nothing to do, really, and I didn't think I could have much of an involvement in the game until sort of this opportunity came up, really, and I thought I'd take it up, and yeah, it's probably the best thing I did, to be honest.
Well, it's great, as always, talking to you, George. We'll get you on, hopefully, fingers crossed, when everything's sorted with the pitch too, and catch up with you at the end of the season.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for your support. And
cheers, George. Absolute pleasure. Good luck with it. Shout if we can do anything to try and help sort that pitch out down at Worthing. At Non-League Show, I know as well, Worthing use social media constantly, and they've been keeping the fans involved with what's been going on down there. And I know something we've touched on before, Dave, about the fact when you lay a 3G or you lay a 4G, the maintenance then of that pitch after it. Of course, you get the kickback financially initially, but it's worth bearing in mind that you will need to outlay again in the not too distant future.
Oh yeah, I think you've got it. We spoke about that, you know, it's like a tax nearly, where you're going to have to keep some of the revenue to the side for like, listen, like any pitch, like anything, you know, it does need upkeep. This sounds, I'm just frustrated about this one, because it sounds as if there's not much wrong with it. And you just get frustrated at sides at our level, they then have to switch the games. And I thought he was quite magnanimous about, you know, FIFA getting involved. He spoke really well on their behalf. But I hope it gets sorted out, and I hope they don't start to, I wouldn't say pick on 3G pitches, but just be pernickety about them, you know.
But it's that base, though, isn't it? So I guess the flip side to that, the argument that he was making, or at least he wasn't sticking up for FIFA, but saying, is that you've got to have a level at which you're starting, don't you? So we've long said that grass pitches need to improve. They have improved hugely, monumentally, but having those same checks in for a grass as you would for a 3G.
Yeah, yeah. I
are you bored now?
Well, I'm sort of getting that way, but I would finish with this. I would finish it as 3G pitches have got better, yeah, and they have year on year. How's grass pitches?
Put a jumper on, says, would be nice for non-league day 18 to get mentioned if you've got time. It's only 2 months to go. Non-league day, the 7th of the 10th, 17. That's what he's talking about. That had a mention. There will be plenty more that we'll mention, including the Manchester Football Writing Festival, which we'll be at. Am I going to get you up to Manchester? Is it too far north for you to go?
No, when is it?
It is Saturday, the 2nd of September. Tickets on sale now. We'll do the non-league show live from there, apparently.
Okay.
Loads of good guests, and you.
Well, let's see if we can do it.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to mention. Do you see that Solihull Moors had to postpone their match to Chester last minute? They didn't get a safety certificate, so they were due to start the season at home. They're due at home again on Tuesday. Understand all should be well again. Not simple, though, is it? Clubs at non-league level. It's stretched all through the summer.
Yeah.
You've built everything up towards getting that first game on, and then power doesn't happen.
I know, and some of the local authorities, you know, I'm not a great lover of them. But listen, we all want safety at grounds. And I just wonder how sometimes it gets to the last minute, you know, this last minute sort of .com. It, surely stuff like this should be sorted out. We've an 8-week break, don't we, really? 8-10-week break. Surely it can be sorted out within that period.
Surely we could have sorted out doing a longer show tonight, but I've had enough of you after 28 minutes, so I'm about to hang up on you. Although we will return and we'll do it proper like, and not speak in Essex.
Well, I won't be here next week. I'll be son of myself.
Yeah, so, that's what I mean. We'll do it next week and return properly.
It's sort of like one of them little, you know, one of them sort of your pre-season games where you don't play the whole game. You know,
who am I then? Am I a West Ham 11?
Oh, by 11? The way,
where would you rate me?
Where would I rate you? What about your team? You hope you're not going to mention your team start to the
season.
No,
no, no, no. Shh. Did you hear that?
6 points.
Did you hear that? That that's us flying under the radar.
Good start.
We can all win the first two games, can't we?
Listen, you were saying to Gary Waddock earlier on, where do you think you'll finish? Where do you think you'll finish?
We are still waiting at Chelmsford City, my team in the National South, for our takeover deal to be complete. But we have in Rod Stringer, a diamond geezer who's keeping things going. The takeover's going to happen. You know, I'll park that and that conversation I've had previously about takeovers and things and my thoughts on how fans should be involved. And you don't want to start me on that because I said I wanted to hang up on you at least 5 minutes ago. So I'll park my views on that for the moment. But for the moment, yes. We're not quite top. There's one team above us, but we have got two from two.
Oh, true, yeah. But he, and I must sort of say, Kaz, before they go, I've known Rod for donkey's years, and he's done well as a manager. I wasn't sure how he would go at Chelmsford, because I genuinely think it's a big football club. But he has done all right, and he's had a good start, and he seems to have, in a situation that hasn't been free flow, and there's been a bit of turmoil behind the scenes. We've spoke to you about it. He's been the steady guy, and he's kept it rolling.
You know what, Dave? This is not about me. if we win the National League South this season, I will think of something suitable to do in celebration.
Okay.
I'll just leave that thought. Yeah, they're all right. Now I am hanging up on you. Enjoy your holiday next week. Have one for me.
Okay.
Yes, that's been Anderson and the Dave Anderson Short Show. It is much shorter than it will be, and things will expand greatly, his waistline, over holiday. And we will be back to talk more, but you can get in touch with us throughout the week at Non-League Show. My thanks to Tim, to Dave. You can find us all this season on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher and TuneIn. But you know that already because you're listening. But if you do want to put our podcast on your website, or you'd like Dave Anderson to write maybe a few letters on your website too, he is available for hire. Non-leaguefootballshow.com is where you can find us, and you can grab an embeddable player for free. Not one of those trialists, but an embeddable one. Until next time, goodbye.
production. JIBBA, JABBA.